May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, so far this Lent, we've had a wonderful opportunity to get a chance to see Jesus at work one-on-one with various different people. We started off on Ash Wednesday with Jesus one-on-one talking to us on the Sermon on the Mount. And then, of course, Jesus then goes out and has a one-on-one with Satan in the desert. And then just last week, we read about Nicodemus having a one-on-one with Jesus at night. Well, today we find Jesus in Samaria. Now, this is pretty unusual because most Jews of the time would actually go out of their way if they were heading north and not going by sea to different parts of the Roman Empire. If they were going by land, they would go around Samaria just so that way they could avoid interacting with those people there. Why? Because Samaritans were considered a despised half-breed of people in the eyes of ancient Jews. They were the descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel that had split off from the southern kingdom of Judah after King Solomon had died. And the people who lived in Judah, who at that time Judea, the Roman province, they were considered no better than Gentiles, these poor Samaritans, because a number of them had intermarried with the Gentiles and even adopted a lot of their customs and worshipped their gods. Of course, it's not that the Jews in Judea were so clean and pure themselves. Many of them had also adopted Greco-Roman customs in order to better navigate the realities of life under Caesar. And if we think about it, we realize that there really is no such thing as a pure race of people, genetically, culturally, or spiritually. We are all made in God's image, and we are all sinners in need of grace. So Jesus is there in Samaria, hanging outside a town by a well, right there by himself in the heat of the day. And his followers are in town trying to secure some provisions. And along comes a woman to get water. Not early in the morning, when most women did at the time. But she did it at the hottest, highest sun of the day. Because that way she could avoid the mocking mouths and the bullying that would have happened to her, because she was someone who was despised by the people in her community, someone with a checkered past. Now, if Jesus and his band of disciples being in Samaria wasn't odd enough, when the Samaritan woman arrives, Jesus actually deigns to speak to her. And this is not something that a typical Jewish man would have done. It would be like today if we were in Saudi Arabia and you started talking to someone of the opposite sex who was not your close relative. So add to the fact that Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans, and we realize that Jesus is in the midst of breaking two major social faux pas, two major conventions that people upheld during his day. But Jesus doesn't just buck against the common racism and sexism of his day in order to prove how woke he is. He has a higher purpose, to bring the light of the gospel to a hurting soul. He wants the Samaritan woman to know that God has living water. He wants to reveal to her that He is indeed the revealed Messiah that has been long promised. He wants her to know that the old contentious ways of worship that Samaritans and Jews had been bickering about for generations were now going to be replaced with worship that was done in spirit and in truth. And I suspect that Jesus also knew that she was the one who could spread the good news to the people in the town of Sychar and do so with the most impact. Now, it shouldn't go unnoticed that Jesus wants to do these good things for her, but leaves a major spiritual malady of her life unaddressed. Yeah. Jesus acknowledges it. The Samaritan woman is engaged in an adulterous relationship with a married man. Now, having had five husbands in her past may not have actually been anything she had much control over. We don't have to treat her like maybe people did in the 1960s when celebrities would get divorced and married year after year to a new celebrity, with people kind of, oh my goodness. And they would do so basically just so that way they could get more people getting more money into the Hollywood box office there. She simply might have instead just had the bad luck of being married off to older men from a very young age, and each one of them leaving her a widow. But it still statistically would have been rare to have had that many husbands, which is what makes Jesus' supernatural insight into her life noteworthy. Jesus wasn't just guessing, oh, well, if I have a coin flip that maybe she'd been divorced and maybe a 1 in 4 or 1 in 5 chance that she'd slept with another man. Jesus wasn't playing the odds. Of course, those are the odds of our current society here in the U.S. No, Jesus knew who she was, what she had done, and how she was struggling. We often see people one-dimensionally. Oh, this person's a sinner. This person is part of this ethnic group. Oh, this person's a bigwig in the community. Oh, this person's an easy mark that I can milk for my own ends. We forget that as much as someone may hurt others, they have often been hurt by others themselves. This is not to excuse immoral behavior, but it helps us to realize that none of us can be defined by one single reality. However wicked or saintly, rich or poor, part of the in crowd or an outsider, born to the right family or the wrong one, Jesus cares for all of us equally. And what motivates Christ's heart should certainly motivate ours. So Jesus very matter-of-factly lets the Samaritan woman know, I see you. He doesn't condemn her. She'd probably done enough of that to herself in her own conscience and certainly heard it from other people in the community around her. Instead, he offers her a promise, a hope, a revelation of God's love and grace. The Messiah is here with her, face to face, offering living water so that way she can worship in spirit and in truth. I know Jesus is here with us today. He is revealed in the words of Scripture. He nourishes with himself at this holy table, and his own spirit is filling his people and touching the heart of every single one of us who are here, even now, as the gospel goes forth. If you believe this, say amen.
Amen.
All right. And while Jesus is here, he wants you to know that he is the Messiah, the Christ, the one who has long promised to rescue us from Satan, sin, and death. We don't have to go and look to a political figure, a party, or a platform. We don't have to buy the latest gadget coming out of Silicon Valley. And we certainly shouldn't buy into the lie of that social Darwinism that says that some of us are more superior to others simply by accident of our birth. Jesus alone is able to take our sins, to carry our burdens, and provide for all of our needs. He came, died, and rose again to rip open the veil that separated us from God, to break the chains of slavery to sin, to give us new hearts where the new creation can take root and grow as he plants the seed of the gospel in us. Jesus is here, and he wants you to know that you no longer have to be spiritually parched. The thirst of your soul and the hunger of your heart are satisfied in the living water of his own spirit springing up within you, and the feast that he offers of his body and his blood. You don't have to go on filling those empty places inside with temptations or distractions from whatever miseries you encounter each day, great or small. Besides, that hole in your heart is God-shaped, and only he can completely fill it. Don't let yourself die of spiritual dehydration. Drink from the living waters. Jesus is here, and he wants you to know, as he saves you and slakes your thirst, you are now empowered to worship God differently. You can worship him wholeheartedly in a spirit-motivated way. You can worship him rightly as he reveals the truth of his holy word to you. You no longer have to go about offering a bunch of blood sacrifices and keeping tallies of how many laws you've broken. It's about being set free to love God with the love that he's already given you, and then sharing that love that you have loved God with your entire being, also giving it to the world, to everyone that you come in contact with. You don't have to go to a special place like Mount Gerizim or to the temple in Jerusalem. You just have to be a part of his special people in the church. You don't have to shed the blood of an innocent animal because Jesus has offered himself, his own precious blood, as the once-for-all sacrifice that makes us all spiritually clean. You don't have to have a special pedigree, because the good news is for everyone. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you recognize Jesus for who he is, drink what he has to offer, and start worshiping him the way that he describes, you'll find that you'll be all the more motivated to share this wonderful news with others. The Samaritan woman no longer worried about being a pariah in her community. She told everyone that she could about this mind-blowing encounter she had with Jesus. She invited them to come and meet Jesus for themselves so they can make their own minds up. She didn't have to think really hard, well, how can I do my part with this each one, reach one thing that we're supposed to be doing here at St. George's this year? It was simply natural. She couldn't help herself. Her encounter with Jesus was so powerful, she just couldn't keep it to herself. Oh, that we all might have such an encounter with Jesus, that we could fully trust him as our Savior and Lord, that we could all drink deeply and daily from the never-ending well of his Spirit, that we might all offer loving worship to God and loving service to our neighbors, as we're empowered to do by the Spirit and as we are exposed to the truth of his word. What a wonder that would be. Jesus knows your number today. He sees you for who you really are, and He still loves you. Let Him be your Messiah in every part of your life. Let Him fill you with His Spirit, the living water that He promised. Let Him inspire a Spirit-filled, Scripture-grounded way of loving God and neighbor in your life. And I bet you will find it easy to share His goodness, His message, and His rescuing power with everyone that you meet. Let us pray. Ever-living God, whose will it is that all should come to You through Your Son, Jesus Christ, inspire our witness to Him that all may know the power of His forgiveness and the hope of His resurrection, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.